down at LSU at the end of the game down there on the goal line, you know, the team photo defense. Maybe we can stop somebody with that. I mean,
I would, hey, let me tell you something. Next week, if Scarlett early on's running all over us, I would try to sneak a couple extra guys out there. And I'm not so sure, as little as our guys are, Jerry, you wouldn't be able to hide a couple of them out there.
And I kind of liked your idea about bringing DBs on the blitz you talked about earlier. It ain't going to hurt your coverage because they ain't covering nobody anyway.
No, that's exactly right. That's my point.
And I hated to do it, but when Martin went down and I found out he wasn't serious, I was like, damn, thank God he ain't in there anymore because he won't get burnt no more.
Nah, that's terrible. You're out of here. We don't make fun of players getting hurt. Jeez Louise. Good God, man. I mean, I know we're off
for us. I'll tell you who looks good.
Go ahead, Tom.
In the back, though. I like Abernathy. I've seen him, what now, two or three times. That guy can make plays on a ball deep. He's right there step for step. So I'm encouraged what I saw from him the first two games here. I think we got a player in him. I'd like to see him. Looks like he's out there a little bit more. But he's a guy I think you can count on back there in the secondary.
Here's a question for you guys about the whole Abernathy thing and Todd Kelly Jr. and Warrior. And those three guys, all three to me, look like they can play a little bit. Why isn't Kelly at linebacker on this football team? I mean, when I watch Cortez McDowell play today, why don't you have Kelly out there at linebacker? Why?
Yeah, that would make a lot of sense. You know, have him at a linebacker spot and Warrior at that safety spot. Along with Petulie.
Yes.
You know, I think,
put your playmakers out there.
I mean, this guy led the team in interceptions last year, and he made some tackles. And he led the team in some tackles last year.
I don't remember what the watch list was, but in my little Lindy's preseason book, it was talking about returning starters on defense. And Todd Kelly was up for, everybody's up for a preseason award. But Todd Kelly was up for one of these safety defensive backs awards. And it's like to have that guy not playing. And I'm glad to see Warrior out there. I'm glad we're getting raw talent on the field. But you got to find a spot somewhere, right?
Yeah,
Bob Shoup's up for the Price Waterhouse Award. Both for the money he makes, and then you need certified accountants to figure out how much is going on when somebody attacks Tennessee's defense on any given play. Because Butch Jones tells us, Jerry, earlier in the week, that they're tracking GPS movements. Hell, I could have told you Darrell Taylor ran 10 miles last week after watching us play. I mean, Georgia Tech went from Chattanooga to Knoxville against our defense. Of course he ran 10 miles. What the hell? Yeah. I feel better now.
Good.
Price Waterhouse, Jerry. Go ahead, Jerry.
I tell you what, and this is all a great conversation too, because it makes you think, okay, who are our best 11? You know, if I'm thinking who are our best four in the back, I'm almost thinking, don't you also have to get Golden back there as your starting safety? I'm looking here opposite Abernathy, and then on nickel situations, put Golden back there at safety, and put Kelly at the nickel back. Now you got two players on the field at once that you know are very good at what they do. And it's another situation where it's just a head scratcher where, like last week, you're going, why isn't Batuli out there with Jumper at the same time? To have one guy on the field, one guy not, that sort of thing doesn't make sense. So I would almost look for them. It wouldn't surprise me if they found a way to also get Golden and Kelly out there on the field at the same time going forward in this little stretch here of the SEC.
You talking about Bob Shoup? I wouldn't bet on that. But let's go back to the phones. I'm sorry, guys. I'm just down on him. That Petulie thing. How Tony? How do you not identify Petulie as one of your best players and have him out there in week one?
He's too cerebral, Tony. He's too cerebral.
Yes,
you know, but. You know, looking at this, Tony. Well, you know, if that's too cerebral, I want 10 more guys out there on the field like him.
Well, yeah.
You know, if that's too cerebral, but you know, looking from last year, Justin Martin and Emmanuel Mosley,
right?
They got beat up last year, man. They gave up too much last year. You know, I mean, from my perspective, they gave up too much last year, and things haven't changed yet. Nothing's changed.
Well, it's kind of like Doc Sinclair says. I mean, you can pick on those guys for being back out there, but really, whose fault is it? Whose fault is it?
And that's just like Colton
You
got to
beat him out. It's just like Colton Jumper.
It's not his fault that the recruits that are higher rated to him, whether it's a Bates, whether it's a whoever,
it's
so not
true.
His fault that they're not out playing.
It's so true.
You know what? I'm going to tell you, this is my thinking. That five-star, four-star, three, it's overrated. I wish they just take that out, man.
Don't tell Rick Barnes that. He'll run away with it.
That really killed. I mean, you know, you get this kid a five-star rating. And he comes up and he doesn't even show up. You know what I'm saying? He doesn't even show up. You say, where does five star come from?
McKenzie was supposed to be, guys, the greatest thing since sliced bread. That poor guy.
Oh,
good,
man. Khalil,
goodness.
Khalil.
Goodness gracious.
Number one recruit, not lineman, recruit in the nation, I believe, by a rival. One of the services had him.
Yeah,
one of the, I'm more like,
And here's the other thing.
With coach. He needs to be on the offensive side of the ball.
And Jerry Kongbo's got number one on. You know why he wore one today, Jerry?
Oh, he's got one tackle?
Because that's exactly right.
Him and Ethan Wolf
one
both.
Tackle.
He's got his one tackle. One for one, Jerry.
And Jerry, you remember what we were talking about
earlier? I mean, come on, guys.
Number one is made. Hey, number one, guys that wear number one are beasts. All the number ones I've seen in all my football have been beasts, but except one. And I'm not going to call any names. Caller.
Jerry, is that not true about Juan?
Absolutely. I mean, I'm thinking about Leonard Little and my senior year. It's a doggone shame I didn't get to play with him as a senior because he showed up on campus, and I think he had some eligibility issues, so they sent him back to JUCO, Tony. Or else he would have been – you guys know he would have been on that 94 team with Ben Talley and your boy who's the linebacker from some Sevierville?
The great Scott Gallion, Ballyerhead, who played in the NFL, and Ben Talley.
Man, can you imagine? Ben
what a
Talley?
Linebacking core!
Leonard Little, man.
Leonard Scott Little, Gallion. That's the guy that wears one. So you give him one. In fact, you give him any number he wants.
Man,
Combo's wearing number one. I mean, come on, y'all. The guy's got he went one tackle against Indiana State. He played the whole time.
He showed up on campus and was an absolute beast from the day he showed up, went to JUCO, came back, and he finished up. I mean, he was an absolute beast. That is a guy where you could say, hey, we're not going to let any other defensive lineman that show up on campus wear number one. That was it. That was a one-time deal. He was that good. And going forward, I mean, to be honest with you, I would go to Fraze. I go, Fraze, give me some 70s, give me some 60s, and a bunch of 99s. And I take back that two. I take back that one.
Single.
39, he gets a larger number as well. So I just don't understand. I just don't understand. If you're a big guy and you're wearing a smaller number like that, you better be a doggone baller.
You're right. You better be beast mode, man. Beast mode. If you're going to wear that kind of number. Yeah.
Back to the phones we go. I mean, these guys bled and sweat for it now. And both these guys got hurt. Both these guys gave it their all for the Vols, talking about Tony Robinson and also Jerry Colquitt. And, Jerry, you mentioned that to me earlier today. And I looked down. Of course, I'm a cheap shot artist. And I realize that number one had one tackle today. One for one. We're going to go one for one. One on one. Let's go to the phones.
Oh, good slip out.
Let's get our next call in. Hello and welcome in. But here's a good example. Stidham slipped two tacklers, and their corner comes up and knocks him into tomorrow and knocks him over. Clemson's so physical. They remind me of us so much in the late 90s.
They've got the old defensive line coach under Fulmer.
Yeah, well, he quit.
But
still, those are his guys. And they play like us. I mean, they recruit like we did back then. Big guys, rangy guys, and they'll hit you. Let's get our next call in. Hello and welcome.
Hey, what's up, guys?
Hey.
JM.
JM, welcome in.
Hey, good stuff from everybody tonight. Enjoying the show.
Thank you.
The game's on mute.
Thank you. That's what we're here for.
Yeah. You know, somebody was bringing up Tim Priest earlier, and I didn't hear that call today. But you remember the Missouri game last year where we gave up like 800 yards or whatever it was? And then I'm on the way home in the car. I kind of left early from the place I was watching the game at. And Tim Priest on the telecast, he said every coach on that staff ought to be embarrassed. Said it was that was an embarrassing performance. And that guy's not afraid to call that stuff out because it's a joke.
I love Tim Priest. I stand with Tim Priest. I fight for Tim Priest. I love that guy. I love him.
Both color guys over there at UT, phenomenal. Tim Priest, Bert Bertelkamp,
no
and even
question.
Steve Hamer, when he's on there, he does a phenomenal job.
No question.
Yeah, they're both the best we've ever had, for sure. Yeah, and that Missouri game last year, you remember they were running like it'd be 3rd and 25, and Missouri would run like a give up play, like just a draw to get some yards for the punt, and they'd get the damn first down.
It was some of the worst stuff I've ever seen until I watched the Georgia Tech game last week. And look, I'm gonna tell you what: if Padula doesn't make that play, guys, we're getting run out of that place. We're getting run out of there if Padula doesn't make that extra effort play and Mosley doesn't make that play. Those two strips are huge plays in this season. Huge.
I saw where Jacksonville State gave up like 200 yards less than what Tennessee gave up last week. And I don't know, the situation could have been different. I didn't see Tech's game today, but I did notice that stat. But it's pitiful, man. You know, one thing I've noticed, and Herb Street was kind of calling this out on the Georgia Tech game, but have y'all noticed that when we have a player that actually has the advantage on the edge on a play, and instead of, like, kind of running to the boundary and cutting the play off, they'll kind of square up and then get behind the guy and chase. It's like their whole technique is messed up. You know, and I'm not a defensive technique expert, but it just seems to me it would be a simple concept that these guys would be taught. You know, you've got to get to the boundary because that guy's faster than you.
Tony, what?
You cut that,
well, that's,
you
exact,
cut that off,
that's exactly right. And you get your hand out there like they teach. They teach everybody, get your hand out there and head them off and turn them inside, setting the edge. Jerry, we talked about that today during the game. I mean, we were not doing that against Indiana State, for crying out loud. I mean, I don't want to bitch after a win, but that is very true, yes?
Tony, that's absolutely correct. That's just being a technician. And to me, that's not necessarily you know, what your strength level is, or you know, what your athleticism level is. That's just playing my technique correct. You know, if it's your job to hold that edge, you know what, you got to jam that guy that's trying to block you on the edge. If you're the outside guy and you got contained, you have to keep that outside arm free, and you can't get beat to the corner. And oftentimes you'll see whoever the end man on the line of scrimmage is, sometimes it's a it might be a DB or a linebacker. You'll see them get the guy right in front of them will get both hands on them, and they get that outside hand locked up, and they can't get it free. Next thing you know, here they come trucking around the edge, trying to chase it down instead of making them cut it back up to the guy that's coming down, flowing from the inside out.
And Jerry, it can't be that hard, right? I mean, you have veteran players out there.
Yeah. Yeah, to me, it's just a discipline thing, you know, and an effort thing. I don't understand, because it happened at least 4 or 5 times a day. And you saw it a lot whenever Indiana State, they went to that bunch wide receiver set where they, you know, they'll stack about 3 guys right there tight. So what they're doing, they're telling you they're going to we used to call it the toss crack sweep. So the outside guy, he'll come down and block down on the number 2 man, then they'll pull a guard outside, and they want you to get undisciplined, because the minute that you go inside and you don't get that outside or keep that outside hand free, now here comes the big old guard at you, right? And they'll hook you, and then they got the back coming around following the guard on the outside. So that's just something from a discipline standpoint they just gotta fix and execute properly.
Well, they've got about 3 practices to do it, because Florida, well, I mean, you can laugh all you want. Florida might not be great shakes offensively, but they're physical enough to punish us if we don't figure that out. I'm sorry. Anything else for us tonight, J.M.? And it's been great hearing from you, brother.
Well, I was just going to say, if you remember when Shoup was hired, it was like a celebratory atmosphere around here. Like, this guy was going to take us to the next level. And they liked him at Penn State and Vanderbilt, if I'm not mistaken. That guy was coveted.
My brother was seriously upset when he left. I was watching a little bit of Penn State's game today against Pittsburgh. You know what those announcers talked about, which is really kind of disgusting? Mm-hmm. How much their defense has improved the 12 games last year and the two games so far this year.
I don't understand it, man. And Tennessee's got the material. I know we're saying we don't look talented, and we don't, but they do have players, man. I mean, you're going to have some recruits bust here and there, but their strength in numbers, in my opinion, and they've gotten recruit after recruit and can't produce. I know we don't have, like, an entire defensive bust. We can't be that unlucky. Something's wrong there.
I'll tell you what's weird about Penn State, too, since he left. They are flying around. They're playing with reckless abandon now at Penn State. We look like we're thinking too much or something. I don't know what we're doing, but I appreciate the call.
Hey, just one positive thing real quick.
Yeah.
Our offense is not great, but I kind of like our offense. You've got a Callaway can go up and get the ball, and I like Dormady. He may not be super talented, but I think he's tough. I think he's smart, and you know, we got a solid running back. I think we're okay on offense. I really do. I like those guys. So,
hey, I appreciate the call. Thank
you,
brother.
See you guys.
I think you're right. I thought our offense saved our bacon last week, and everybody's like, well, how can that be when they only ran a third of the plays? Well, it's hard to play when you don't get the ball. It's hard to play when you don't get the football.
Yeah.
Hard to get any kind of rhythm as a quarterback when you don't get the ball.
Well,
right, Tom?
You're right about that. If you don't have the ball, you can't score. But looking at tonight's stats,
yeah.
Well, I see we've done a little better job on possession time tonight. We had the ball 29 minutes and 7 seconds, but we still got, you know, they still had more minutes, you know, 30 minutes and a few seconds.
They outpossessed us still. Alex.
Well, we still got outpossessed. But we were scoring at will just about, you know. So we did make some improvement on defense. We didn't give up all 500-some yards.
Alex has a question he wants to ask of Jerry. Alex, jump in here.
Jerry, one thing I've noticed listening to Tony's show as a fan over the past few years and of obviously the first couple games this season listening to you, you really notice a lot of the little things. And one thing I noticed that I just want to mention that I really loved is when Ty Chandler, even though there was nobody around him, when he broke out that return on the first play of the game, when he broke outside the left hash, he switched the ball to his left hand. And that doesn't bother me as much as a returner, but as a running back, seeing the guy do that, it really, really made the middle school running back that twas, if you will, it made me happy. But what I really want to bring up is a little thing on the special teams. Last year, Cameron Sutton, he would break one every now and then, but he wasn't the most explosive returner we've ever had. But I think one thing he did better than anybody in a long time is he caught the ball, and he really hardly ever would you see a ball hit the ground on a punt. And two or three times today earlier in that ball game, Callaway, when he wasn't able to catch it, it just bounced and bounced and bounced, and we lost 10 or 15 yards at a time. And it's hidden yardage like that that I think really helped Tennessee's offense last year, and I think that could hurt us going forward. Somebody's got to get to Callaway and say, hey, even if you don't think you can return it, you got to get under it and save our offense some yardage.
Absolutely correct. You know, that's one of those old Johnny Majors discipline in a kicking game thing. You know, that'll definitely, you know, help get the offense off to a better start. You know, starting from your own, you know, 10-yard line, 11-yard line, that's a big difference, you know, versus starting on, say the 20-yard line. So I think that part, I do think he'll get better at that because he seems to be a natural returner. The one thing that you mentioned, just in terms of Sutton last year, one thing that I always liked is a guy with a heavier leg returner that has some explosiveness and some moves in the open field. Because what you'll see is that first wave of defenders coming down to defend those kicks, a lot of times, you know, some of the lighter guys who may be faster, sometimes it's just a swipe at the leg and they trip up. But some of those guys that play that combination of running back and returner, you'll see a lot of those guys break those tackles, which I think you're going to see a lot of that from Chandler this year, because he's one of those guys that's used to playing running back. And when he hits it, I think you're going to actually have to tackle him in order to get him down. So I look for him to have a whole lot of, 20, 30-yard returns and more, from the kickoff return spot. I really do.
Back to our phones we go. It's, by the way, James Franklin, somebody just tweeted this to me, Rob Ninji. Thank you, Rob Ninji, who says, James Franklin, after Penn State beat Pitt today, he said, well, this was just like beating Akron for us. Guy's a complete shit talker. Tone,
yeah.
Before we go back to the phones, anything else you want to add? Well, let's get back to, or do you want to get back to the phones?
No, I just wanted to say about the punt situation. Well, Indiana, they weren't trying to punt to Marquez. They weren't trying to punt to Callaway. They were that soccer thing, that little soccer. Got runs on his style. Yeah, that's what they were doing all day. That's what they punt the ball, and he would just run it down and it bounced and it catch it on the high bounce.
What did you think of the kid on the kick returner though?
Oh, that's
Tone, the opening kick returner, opening kick of the game.
Good start for us on that kickoff returner. I thought he was wonderful, man. He hit that line, broke a few tackles, made a move, and he was gone.
And we have a few more stats, but I will say one stat is he looked like a guy you want to get the ball to. Am I right, Tony?
Oh, I mean, you want to put the ball in his hands. Playmakers.
Ready? Here we go. He ran the ball four times.
Yeah, I see
whole game.
This. I
four
see
times
this.
He ran the
four
ball.
Four times.
You like that, Tone?
Nope.
Okay.
I mean, he should have got more playing time, more touches. When Kelly should have been out in the second half.
Well, thank you. What are they doing? You
know, Kelly's
if
out
Kelly
the second
gets
half,
hurt, Kelly you gets are hurt. Dead.
We're
get your kids ready.
We're graveyard material here.
I mean, do you feel a me? Did he just call us graveyard
material? Graveyard material in the backfield, man. We don't, these guys are playing time.
Tony.
I don't know, Tony.
Let's go back to the phones. You're trying to pump me up right
these
now.
These guys, we need to.
Let's get our
we
next.
We need to find some players, man.
865-200-5402. Garza Law, fifth quarter fan reaction. We're heading into hour number three with these. Hello and welcome into our next caller.
Hey, Tony, how you doing?
Hey, welcome in. Who's us?
This is Kevin from Leesburg. I try to call about every week.
Hey, Kev. Thanks for being there, buddy.
I'm very critical of our football team. I didn't see a lot, our defense didn't blow it up. They scored one touchdown on a turnover by Dormady. You talked about exotic blitzes. We're not going to do exotic blitzes against Indiana State. We played very vanilla. The thing that upset me more than anything was our offensive line. We should have been able to run over those. We should have had either of the three running backs be able to run for 200 yards.
Yeah, and that's why these former players are in here tonight, giving these guys some tough love. Because I'll ask Tony point blank, because Tony has real world conversations with these guys. Tony told me he's going to see Khalil McKenzie, and they think Tony's a crazy old man, but Tony will tell the truth to these guys. Tony,
yeah.
Tell this guy from what you'll say from one VFL to another when you see those guys over there this week. Those defensive linemen.
Okay, I say, what's going on, man? What's wrong with you guys, y'all? We're not playing like you're not playing like your beast mode now, man. We're playing kind of passive here. Yeah, we got to get some confusion going on, man. So I just got to. I'm not going to tell you exactly what I'm going to tell them.
I'm telling you. See,
I'm going to put some. When they see me coming to the locker room,
and that's why what you're hearing from these guys is, quote unquote negative, I guess you could say. Yeah. But here's the thing.
No. I mean, they know more than I do. So, I mean, I'm never going to say that Tony, I mean, he knows more than I do.
My point is, you got an opponent, you should run over them. Like, that's a 1AA school. Our run game should be running over them the way Carlin Fields and me was running. We should be running over people.
Yes, but the defense didn't, because even when they were throwing the ball, they were very smart. The guy took two steps and rolled one way or the other, so he wasn't sitting in the pocket most of the time to get sacked. and he got rid of the ball pretty quickly. He wasn't that accurate, but he was leaving the pocket. It wasn't like he was sitting in the pocket for somebody to go and rush and sack him, in my opinion.
All that said, we had two hurries and one sack on this kid, and we had no TFLs. We had nothing upfield. We let them get around the edge the entire time.
How many points did they score?
Look, if you're happy with what you saw defensively today, more power to you. I can't stop you.
No.
We should manhandle that team, man. Come on. We should manhandle that team.
I agree with that, Tony. But there are sometimes, like, they only scored when we turned the ball over on their plus side, correct?
They shouldn't score at all. It doesn't. Let me tell you something. You should be able to give that team the ball at the 10-yard line and they not score on you. That should be the way that game should be played tonight. I mean, come on. That's a bad 1AA team. They're bad.
I agree with that. They are bad. But have you seen the directional schools that have scored against teams?
Good God. Those are teams that can play again. You're playing a team that cannot play. Jacksonville State can play. Okay, they can play. You know what Jacksonville State would do to that team that we saw today? I mean, are you kidding me?
One thing.
My problem.
Second ball's known for one thing. Larry Bird. What else are they known for?
But my problem was with the offense. We should have scored every single time.
Right. Again, that's the whole thing. And defensively, though, we're bad. We just are. I mean, we just are what we are.
I feel like our secondary is pretty decent.
Tony, this guy feels like our secondary is decent. I think we have pretty good safety play. I would agree with that.
I think our safety play, I would agree with our safety play, but
it's decent.
Our corner play, man, we're non-existent there. I mean, our corners are playing too lightly. They're too soft.
Finally somebody looking back to the ball and tipping the ball away. But I agree with the defensive line. That's a problem, and I thought that was going to be this year.
I tell you what, Caller, I'm 53 years old. I'll get Tim McGee, Eric Swanson, and Joy Klingsky, and we'll all go out there. We'll bomb our secondary to death. What do you think?
Bomb them to death. That's terrible. That's terrible, Tony.
Okay. I'm dead serious,
Tony Robinson's face is not joking. He has not smirked a bit.
He's pissed, actually. Tony's pissed.
I'm pissed off with the secondary play. Not the safeties, man. The safeties playing good ball. It's our quarterback play that I'm teed off about, man, because
that kid, today they had two receivers that were wide open on deep balls behind
us. The first play Indiana State
open.
Ran.
Wide open.
Touchdown if the quarterback throws the ball out so that kid can't run up on the ball. If that ball wasn't on the throw, touchdown.
No doubt, Ton.
Caller,
I agree with that. You're right about that. Also, can Dormady hit one deep ball, please?
No question. And that's what Ton was saying earlier. Put some air under it.
Put some air on it.
He's going to be a nice player. Dormady's going to have a nice season.
Dormady's.
Josh Robertson.
Palmer.
He was open every single
time.
Right, he was open.
He's going to have a nice career.
It's coming now. We have the deep ball, right?
Yeah, separation and everything.
You know what Palmer does to our phone caller? That guy looks the part. He jumps off the page at you.
Yeah.
You look at him and you go, that's what it's supposed to look like. He's going to have a nice career here if he stays healthy.
He runs away from guys.
He really does.
Yeah. You see Callaway now, and he's like, you're like, wow.
Yep. Callaway and him together.
Right.
You get one more, like Jerry said.
Josh Smith back.
We get him back next week. It was a good decision to hold him out today.
Right.
And let's go play some ball next week.
Be nice with those two.
Yep. Hey, great phone call. Thank you, brother.
You got it, man.
Great talking to you, man. Always.
Tony and Jerry, real quick, I know y'all would know a lot more than me as guys who look to find receivers, but to me, when you have two big 6'2-plus receivers like Callaway and Palmer out there, just physical, huge targets, you add a Josh Smith or someone that's maybe not as big but it's a little quicker, you know, like the Patriots, they find all those guys. You add a guy like that that can cut across the middle and kind of wedge in between routes, that's a recipe for success.
Right, definitely. You know, when you got two good receivers and if you got three good receivers, it's hard for a defense to even try to even put a scheme together to even stop your offense.
Tony, your line about I'm 53 years old.
Man,
going to get Tim McGee.
Clint Scales and Eric Swanson.
Tim McGee is about a ham sandwich away.
Okay, well, look,
from playing offensive guard.
Not Tim McGee.
Huh?
Not Tim McGee. No. Tim McGee is in Tim McGee's in shape.
He is?
Oh, yeah. Joey Clint Scales is about 210, 220 now. Yeah.
How about Tony hauling off on Joey Clint Scales tonight, Jerry? Your thoughts?
Hey, I seen
two Joey. Bills. He's in the two Bills club.
Well, Joey was kind of thick in when we were playing also now. He was kind of close. He was over that 200 pounds.
Jerry, how about this, Jerry?
Oh, yeah.
You think those guys are going to be happy when it gets back to them? Tony's
hey.
Hey, you guys are laughing, but I kind of believe, Tony, man, those guys, I mean, you're talking, I mean, that was Peyton Manning, Reggie Wayne, Marvin Harrison, and that little guy they had in the slot, what was his name?
Brandon Stokely.
Little tight end. Yeah. That was all that before all that stuff even came to play. I'm telling you, some of you callers are probably a little bit too young, but talking about a three-wide set with an X and a Z on the outside,
yeah,
and a guy on the inside that could work the middle, man.
That's right.
T. Robin, and they used to do it, you know, 20 years way before their time.
Vaughn has a great question on Twitter before we take any other calls. I want you guys to tell me this. How do we get better? Between now and the Florida game, what happens? How do we get better?
We got to put the right guys out on the field. Bottom line, they got to find the ball.
Defensively,
we got to put the right guys on the field, regardless about this, whatever problems you got with these guys. We got to put the right guys on the field, the ones that give us the best chance to win. Offensively, I think that we're still missing a few things. As far as I think offensive line is going to be there. We just got to find that extra receiver. And we should have a fun time.
Jerry, how we get better, man?
Offensively, a little more discipline by Dormady. What I mean by that is using touch. You know, what I like for him to become is a passer. We know he has a big arm. I thought a couple of times today he missed opportunities to get touchdowns. When you get those chances in big games, man, you gotta come up with six. On defense, I agree with Tony. Who's our best 11 at all times, be it if we're in our base 4-3 personnel or when we go to nickel, do we have all of the best 11 players at the same time? If we go to nickel, TK needs to be out there somehow. Rashad Gold needs to be out there with him at the same time. So, and hey, keep coming on special teams. I'm telling you, you know, if we're short some players on defense, one thing that can bail us out is just a couple plays here and there, man. Good returns or returns for touchdowns by like Chandler and Callaway and those guys on the special teams side of things. So just continuous improvement on special teams and big plays from them.
When I see Callaway out there, I want to scream, howdy, howdy, hi, howdy, howdy, ho. That's what they need to play in that stadium instead of that hands up. What'd you think of that, Tony?
I didn't think anything of it, Tony, because it lost
What
me.
Was it? Third down, hands up.
Third down, hands up.
I mean, who came up with that, guys? The cops of Missouri?
I don't know.
What is that?
Third down,
hands
for what?
Up? What is that?
I bet that won't. That, hey, you got third down for what?
That's the worst thing I've ever heard.
Cut around the nation, but I don't think that third down with your hands up is going to catch anywhere. So.
865-200. I mean, who comes up with that? First the garbage can, then we have hands up and a chant.
We could get third down, defensive back, put your hands up and swat a ball away.
Do something. Interception. Do something, man. God.
Jerry, what about hands up and your chant, Jerry? Third.
Say that again.
We do a chant now in the stadium where Butch Jones wants the crowd to scream in unison. Third down, hands up. Not third down for what?
Yes,
anymore.
Third down for what? Hands up.
No, it's not third
is that
down
for what? Oh, okay.
No, third down, hands up.
Oh shoot!
The sterile screaming at you. Third down, hands up. Assaulting your sensibilities.
Man, you know what my was my favorite when that announcer when he would announce that third and they go third down and the crowd would get real wild.
Oh my God, man! Back in the days of the late great Bobby Denton.
Yeah,
and remember, that voice of God ripping through the stadium. Nothing like that.
It was 96, 97, and 98. Tony, you were gone then, but they would right after he would go third down and six.
Oh, it was so awesome.
That old Smokey or the Smokey howling sound.
Oh, no.
The Smokey's on the prowl.
Smokey's howl, Smokey's on the prowl. Let's go back to the phones. Let's get our next call in, 865-200-5402. You're on your Garza Law fifth quarter fan reaction. Welcome in.
Hey, Tone.
Hey, welcome in.
Hey, this is fake Dave Nathan.
What's up, buddy?
Hey, buddy, I'm sorry that it's been a little bit of a hiatus for you, but the Stu Manitarian over there has got me doing some work over there at the place that he works, some humanitarian efforts, and especially now with the disasters going on down there in Florida and the disasters in Houston. You know, it's a tough deal. It's a tough deal for FDN, but the Stu Manitarian, he's on the ball, and we got it going on.
Well, I know that Fake Dane, who's in your posse, will be doing some fake good works out of all this. So, and good for him.
Well, I know that he will too, Tone. And I and Fake Dane, he's a great man. And even though he did what he did back in the day, it's all forgiven. And let's let bygones be bygones.
Can I say a word here about our country real quick? Because I was talking with Tom Marine today, Smoothie King Tom Marine, and you guys will like this story. So he went last night to his with his son up to see U2 in concert. I think they were in Cincinnati last night. They were in Cincinnati last night. They were in last night.
Yes, I was there last night.
He saw somebody last night. Who did he see last night? No, it was Cincinnati. They were in Cincinnati. Somebody was in Cincinnati. Anyway. So they went to see a show last night in Cincinnati. He said, Tony, the whole time we were there going up the interstate, we saw one utility truck and heavy equipment truck after another heading south.
Right.
And guess where they're going, Tone? Florida. They're going right into that danger.
In the danger zone.
Those men are going right, and those women are going right into that danger because that's what our country is all about.
And it's just like those guys with all the boats you saw hauling into Houston.
Yep.
I mean, times like this, it's a good point, Tony. Yeah, times like this, the only, you know, you never want to see disaster happen. You never want to see that. But the one good thing, you try to be positive in a situation like this, is for just a moment. It's like everybody puts politics aside.
Right. Everything.
And you just say, let's do the right thing.
The media cannot divide us because we, at the end of the day, love each other.
That's right.
I love these guys. They love me. And to our caller, continue. I'm sorry.
Tone, this is a great country, and I love this country, and I don't care. I don't care what either political side thinks. We live in the land of the free, and I'll forever stand behind that and hold my hand up to that because it's just a great country. But to the game tonight, Tony, I mean, I used to call in back when I was a young buck and give you the Big Orange Report. But what I'm going to give you tonight is the Big Orange Report card, Tone. I think that you all touched on so many great topics. And again, you all do a great job. And I love the new guy, Alex, I believe his name is. And then having T-Rob in there. And then you standing there all night. It's just what a blessing it is to have this kind of show on the air here in Big Orange Country. I just love it. But first off, you're right when you said that we've got to set the edge on the defensive side of the ball. If you don't turn those guys back in, there's no reason McKenzie and some of those other defensive tackles don't have tackles. It's because they're all running to the corner, and the tackles don't get a chance to get out there to make a tackle. It's because those running backs are running around the edge. And so if you had Kongbo or the other defensive tackle, Taylor, setting the edge and forcing them back in, I'm sure that McKenzie would have had many more tackles. And I was at the game tonight, and the first time in 5 years that I've had to pay for tickets, like scout tickets or whatnot, because my family's normally had season tickets, and we gave them up this year. But I scalped tickets tonight to take my son, and we sat in great seats, and we got to watch from an end that we normally don't get to watch from. And so you got to see the defensive line work, and those defensive ends were always charging in toward the quarterback. They weren't setting an edge. They weren't kind of backing up and going upfield, trying to force those running backs, especially on those sweeps, back in toward the tackle. I think our tackles would have had a much better game if that would have happened. I'll give those ends an F, but I'm going to give those tackles, I'm going to give them a C+, Tony.
The tackle play, that's so true. It's got to be so hard to play tackle when you have ends are that invisible. Tony, he's got a good point. That cannot be easy to play defensive tackle with as little end play as we get right now.
Yeah, we got no one on the end to
there's no pressure. Funneling going on.
No funneling.
Everything is going to the outside. Right. It looks like a convoy.
Our ends are not stretching that thing out so the guy from inside out.
Yeah, there's none of that.
They get to the sideline on us, you know? And I'm like,
it's
if they
Indiana
cut it up,
State.
Yeah. I'm like, man.
If they're doing that, what's Scarlett going to, what's Nick Chubb going to do to you doing that?
You got to get the edge, Tone. You got to force them back inside.
You got to force them back inside.
It's just fundamental.
I think our interior defensive linemen are good enough to make tackles. They're big enough. They're dang sure big enough. I mean, if you look at those guys on the field, they're gigantic. I mean, when you get Tuttle and McKenzie out there, or even if you don't have them out there at the same time, which I don't think they ever were, but if you get Tuttle out there or you get McKenzie out there, those guys are gigantic. They're huge enough to fill a hole. And I think, secondly, I think that this defensive line looks just like Oregon's line looked last year when our guy from Oregon was coaching there. He's still giving up that, because that's what the Pac-10 runs. They run that jet sweep kind of play. They don't run right up. They don't run in between the tackles.
Yeah, but look, Brady Hoke is a guy who's power football to the core. He was at Michigan. I mean, come on, Brady Hoke's a power football guy now. Brady,
he might be a power. He might be.
Look, you can't squeeze blood from a stone. I mean, you can only do with what you want to do. I do know this. Penn State's defense is a lot more physical and a lot more aggressive now that Bob Stoops not there. And I don't know what to make of that. I mean, he left and they won a league championship last year. They beat Ohio State for crying out loud.
I agree, Tone.
So,
I agree. And just a couple more quick points. I don't understand Shoup's love affair with Jumper. I mean, the guy can't get off a block. I mean, every time that the guy got hit, he was either flying through the air or getting knocked to the ground. I don't know how many tackles he had, but I wouldn't think that it's that many, because he was most of the time getting back up and chasing the ball, just like he was against Georgia Tech. There's got to be somebody else, like you said, on the team that can play that position a little bit better, or switch somebody over to be able to make some tackles. I mean, just to make a tackle where they're not getting two or three extra yards, because he's not even, a lot of the times, he's not even in the play.
Jerry, your thoughts on this call?
Look, I think at this point, you know, your best three, or at least your best two. I mean, you got to go Jumper. You got to go Batuli. I still think they're trying to find number three. And I hear what you're saying, but go back and, you know, if you guys have time to watch, go back and watch some of these plays. A lot of the times it's our defensive tackles. On the middle runs, I don't think we're holding up guys long enough. They're chipping up to the linebacker. too easily to where Colton Jumper has to play with the guy in his lap a lot of the times. And then on the edge runs, you know, when you don't hold that edge, what it causes is a big old traffic jam.
Yep.
And what you see, you'll see Jumper having to, like we said, he's having to run the hump instead of taking a direct downhill angle to meet that guy right at the line of scrimmage. And it looks like he's late, but it's because there's guys in his lap. You know, he can't flow free flow sideline to sideline. So I think most of what we're seeing is what's happening in front of him. I just think our guys aren't getting enough push right at the snap of the ball to disrupt things so that these guys can combo up to the second level.
Well, I don't think Jerry. I mean, I love you, and I do think that you're kind of monotone, but I do think that I do think that a lot of the issue isn't the defensive tackle. I think that a lot of the problem is that the middle linebackers, they're not even in the play.
Caller, I just want you to know something, and I appreciate you, Fake Dane. I love you too, and you're out of here. You can't do that to Jerry. You can't say I love you and you're monotone. We don't play like that in our neighborhood. I mean, Mr. Robinson, the man's in your neighborhood. He can't just come in here and throw off on Jerry. Mr. Robinson, can he? I mean, you sound really concerned about it, Tone.
I am.
You're over there as worried about the game and a sweet pass. Sweet get your guys back here, man.
Jerry.
Yes, sir.
This doesn't happen in our hood, man.
Say? Doesn't happen in our hood. Because we play sideline bust them up in our hood.
We don't let that happen. You know, we gotta stick together. The VFL, if we stick together, man. And like Tone say, he's out of here.
865-200-5402. By the way, before we go back to our phones, Clemson is getting ready to put the finishing touches on this Auburn team. If they win this game, I'm looking at Clemson's schedule. They go to Louisville next week, guys. Now, that's going to be a hell of a game.
That's going to be a test for
And that right game now. Right there is going to be on opposite Tennessee and Florida, yeah. Which is a 3:30 game. So, again, we're not going to get a chance to see. Yeah. That's going to be a classic football game. Well, then they've got a win against Boston College. They will win at Virginia Tech. Then they've got a win with Wake Forest in their house. They'll go to Syracuse and mash them. They'll beat Georgia Tech five ways to Sunday in their building. Then they go to NC State. They will beat Florida State. They will beat the Citadel, and they will win at South Carolina again. And I don't know that Clemson loses. Do they? Do they, Alex?
To be seen.
They look heavyweight in this game, and I was dead wrong in the first quarter. Heavyweight.
On the one game you always circle on Clemson's schedule is you got Florida State. Well, they just got their quarterback knocked out for the year.
No question.
And, you know, he has a really good player, and you expect good depth at a school with Jimbo Fisher recruiting, but you don't know until they prove it. So you would have to think that, but without a doubt, Clemson's the favorite. And even if Clemson loses one game, they're going to win. If they win the conference, even dropping a game, they're going to make the playoffs.
Alabama will break your spirit, and they'll put you in the damn hospital. Yeah. That's what they do to people.
Well, I tell you what, they're going to be tested next week. Clemson gets tested next week. They're being tested right now, but Auburn just doesn't have any offense.
Al, give me an update. We're watching this game right here. It's 14-6, 3:06 to play in the football game. Clemson with a 3rd-and-9. There's a timeout on the field. They have the ball in their territory, so they're a long ways away. Auburn trying to get the ball back here and in decent field position, down 8. We'll see what they can do. They only have one timeout left. Al, give me the update on the Georgia game and any of the other SEC action that you have for us. As I remind you, you're listening to Garza Law, 5th quarter. It's a free-for-all. It's free for all. It's a free for all that's free for all. Does that make sense? And I want to keep it that way. And we have expenses. And I want to encourage you to go leave us a tip tonight in our tip jar and help us defray the cost of doing this. We're staying on longer than we're contractually obligated to right now. We are commercial break free for you. We've gotten hundreds of phone calls in, thousands of listeners all over the world, uniting the VFL past and present, and uniting the volunteer spirit past and present. Go to TonyBasilio.com. 30 cents a day could save a life and save this show that you're enjoying right now from going behind the paywall. I want to encourage you to join the T-Club today. Al, hit it.
This update, Tony, is brought to you by Calhoun's, where you can order a tailgate family pack starting at just over $5 per person. Now with delicious ribs included. Calhoun's, a taste of Tennessee. Scoreboard started off, as always, tonight with a win. Tennessee 42, Indiana State 7. That's your final, as you mentioned, with just under 3 minutes to go. Clemson on top of Auburn. They just got a first down to extend their drive. They've got the ball, and Clemson leads it 14-6 at home. South Carolina all over Missouri, 31-13 with a minute 45 to go in that one. As we go down the list, it's a couple more key games. Oklahoma has the ball, but they trail Ohio State 13-10, 3 minutes exactly left on the clock in the third.
Go Sooners.
LSU all over Chattanooga and the Mocs 42-3 with the ball. A minute and 30 left to go in that one. That one's pretty much over, in the third quarter, but essentially that one's over. Mississippi State all over Louisiana Tech 57-14. A couple extra games of interest. Georgia trails Notre Dame 16-10, but they have the ball with 5:20 left to go in the third quarter. And that's essentially, other than that's the main games, other than, of course, the USC Stanford game. And Stanford, USC up on Stanford right now.
And I'll raise you one other. Nichols right now just scored. It's 21-14. They trail Texas A&M. So that guy at A&M, guys, you talk about somebody that has not realized it. The guy at Arkansas is going to get fired. The guy at A&M is going to get fired. And I have a feeling that somebody else in the Southeastern Conference are going to go when the year is over. Let's go back to the phones, and we'll get our next call in as we welcome our next caller. Jerry, I'm sorry that caller referred you as monotone. Welcome into our next caller. Hello.
Hey, Tony?
Yeah, welcome in. Please speak into the speaker, into your earpiece. Thank you.
How's this, Tony?
Yeah, go right ahead.
Oh. Hey, give me 1 second. Tony.
Go right ahead.
Hey, how's this?
A lot better. Thank you.
All right. Sorry about that. Stupid Bluetooth. Hey, I was going to talk about the defensive ends, but first off, is South Carolina something to worry about?
Well, I don't think there's any doubt that there's something to worry about. Jake Bentley's for real. Debo Samuel, they've got two excellent receivers around him. Will Muschamp can coach defensive football. We know this. He recruits pretty well. He made a deal with the devil to get Bentley. In other words, bringing his father there. And Tony Robinson, that kid was 17 years old last year when he beat a fourth-year senior in Josh Dobbs over there. A 17-year-old kid,
the quarterback,
beat a 22-year-old kid heads up. And he's only going to get better, Tone.
Only, that's it. Only,
I like him.
Oh yeah, only can get better.
Jake Bentley can play.
Yeah.
And let's not forget that we rag on Will Muschamp all the time about not being able to coach. But he's 4-0 against Butch Jones.
Oh, no. Don't say that.
Don't talk like that. Don't talk like that, Alex. Don't talk like that.
Hey, Tony, do we take for granted how good Derek Barnett was? Because not only did he get a bunch of sacks, he never left the field. And now, does our defensive coordinator think Tongbo and Taylor can do the same?
Yeah, I don't know whether it's numbers, but I don't see a whole lot of substituting going on out there, which was a hallmark of Tennessee lines in the past. And so we just, for whatever reason, we just don't have the numbers defensively.
We're not getting any penetration from the defensive tackles. You know, there's no disruption.
No.
You know, from our defensive linemen against the other team's offense.
No.
You know, so we got to, something's got to be, we got to figure something out here.
No doubt about it.
And, you know, they talk about not trusting other players, but, I mean, how can you even try and trust them when the ones that got out there aren't doing anything worth a damn? And Cal Phillips played probably 15 snaps tonight and had a pass blocked at the line of scrimmage, and what's that going to do next week? Is he still only going to get 15 snaps?
It's, you know, it's weird because nobody's producing. I mean, to me, Kyle Phillips would have to play based on his production tonight. Because I'm not knocking Kongbo, but like Jerry said, and these are former players talking now, and this is how they talk to each other. If you're going to walk around and wear one and strut around, I mean, back it up. Back it up.
Yeah.
You can't be number one and have one tackle. I mean, that's not going to work.
You match your jersey number.
Yeah.
You know what I'm now, I can see if you're wearing a number 10 or something like that. You had your 10 tackles.
Had your 10 tackles.
Okay, yeah. So, but you wear number one and you match your jersey? Dude.
Tony said he'd have Jerry Colquitt said he'd have. Now, Jerry, in case you're wondering, he's the guy that's monotone. But he's.
Go ahead.
He's incredibly monotone.
Jerry!
Oh, my.
I'm just smooth, baby. I'm smooth.
Said?
There's a difference.
Yeah.
There's a difference in their time.
They should recognize that, Jerry. They should recognize that between monotone and smooth.
That's right.
Hey, where's Tyler Bird? If they're not going to throw him the ball or give him some handoffs around their corner, why don't they just put him at cornerback?
He was held out tonight. Tyler Bird did not play today. But I would take Tyler Bird right now with Palmer's emergence and some of the other young wide receivers that are there, and I would put him at corner. But we've been begging Butch Jones and Bob Shoup to do that now for going on 14 games, and they still are not. And Tyler Bird publicly last year said that he would like to play defense as well, but apparently they're just not going to go for that.
Yeah, I read a practice report from camp saying he shut down all the wide receivers in those one-on-one drills.
Which is, you know, I mean, that's – I'm telling you, that guy can play. Would be able to play cornerback, but I thought number 15 could have helped Tennessee in the secondary last year as well. And look, if I'm going to get torched by Vanderbilt, I'm throwing some back. I'm just thinking about last season. If it's me, I go to the Sugar Bowl because I find guys that get on the field like Tennessee in 89. They put Carl Pickens out there and said, I don't care how we get through this season. We're sticking you at safety. And you're going to get us through this season. 1990 it was. Right, Jerry? Am I lying, Jerry?
That's exactly it. And, Tony, the 1990 season, you guys know how Dale Carter got on the field?
How?
Because they knew he was very aggressive. They knew that he would fly around to the ball. They knew when he would hit you, he would strike you. So guess what? When we played a run-dominant football team, didn't matter if he knew all the defenses. Didn't matter if they didn't know if he was going to be a permanent safety or a corner. They knew that for that asset going against another team that he could go out there and line up and do well against what they did well, they found a way to get him on the field. And he had probably one of the best games from the safety spot playing a run that I've ever seen. So, to me, I think that they have to start finding situations where guys can use their assets and what they're really good at and get them out on the field. Because you're going to get it next week, too. It's going to be a run-dominant team. That team can't throw the football real well. So if I were the defense coordinator, I'd be looking for guys who I know will go out there and bring that hat next week and could float to the ball and make a whole lot of tackles.
It's a great point. Anything else for us on the phone lines tonight, sir? And it's a great call by you.
Yeah, if we're talking about getting the best defensive backs out there that are already playing defensive backs, what about moving Galdon over to cornerback and then Abernathy down to nickelback and then have Kelly and Warrior back at safety?
Which is what Jerry was talking about that earlier. Any sort of combination like that to me makes sense. But you're almost to the point now where you've got to start Jimmy in your numbers. I know we're in week three, but you've got to say to yourself, God, we've got a winnable division here. Let's get our best 11 on the field, however we have to do that. And thank you for the phone call, man. That's something, Jerry, you talked about earlier. 865-200-5402 is the number. As it's official now, Clemson shut down Jared Stidham and Auburn on the road. And I mean, they beat that Stidham kid up, and they are tough. And they lost a ton of guys last year, T-Rob, off at defense. Okay. Yeah. They are reloading.
Something we should have been doing. Something we should be doing with all the experience we have, so-called experience we have coming back. And somewhere, somebody's not getting it, T. Somebody's not in the classroom somewhere.
Well, Georgia right now takes a lead on Notre Dame 17-16. They're trying to gut out a win on the road, and Georgia's actually playing somebody on the road non-conference, which scares you. Let's go back to the phones because that never happens. Good God, Darnold made a great throw there. Whew, and what a great catch.
Cool. I tell you what, T-Rob.
Yeah.
If you get a chance, you know, old school guys who can throw that thing from the pocket, you'll see them play under center some. You'll see them.